Apparently, a New Hampshire woman, true story, a New Hampshire woman has declared next month National Straight Spouse Month. Founder Lisa Rogak says she came up with the idea for Straight Spouse Month after she discovered her husband was a closet homosexual. Now Rogak hopes to hopes Straight Spouse Month will draw attention to people who have no idea they're living with a lesbian or a gay man. Some of the activities that she talks about, she thinks you should spy on your partner, see if he or she might be logging on to gay chat rooms, purchasing gay magazines. Rogak insists she's pro-honesty, not anti-gay, and that Straight Spouse Month will merely draw attention to the problems faced by straight spouses married to homosexuals. It goes on, more common than you think. Guy wants to raise a family, have kids, but on the side he's got, you know, gay lover. A couple of lesbians getting it on because, you know, she doesn't see it in her husband. What do you think about it? K-Rock, hello, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Just regarding what you was just saying regarding...
Who am I speaking with?
This is Miss Sarita Williams.
Oh, hi, Sarita.
Good afternoon.
Welcome back to the show. Nice to hear that you are continually listening to the show.
Well, I monitor the program. I monitor several hate radio programs.
Hate radio programs? What do you mean?
I report my findings on hate radio programs.
You consider this a hate radio show?
I report to the Southern Christian Leadership Conference and Klan Watch and things of that nature.
Right. What can I do for you, Sarita, before, you know, you get on your soapbox? What do you want?
Well, regarding what you were just saying.
What about the New Hampshire woman that wants to have next month? She's declared National Straight Spouse Month.
Well, first of all, it is blasphemy. It is an affront to the eyes of God. The demonic specter of homosexuality.
Some people believe
it is,
that
it is wrong in the eyes of God.
Some people believe that
the good Lord created Adam and Eve. He did not create Adam and Steve.
Hey, I've heard you say that enough times. I know what made you feel.
Maybe one day it'll filter in.
Just telling you what the story said. A person's beliefs are their own.
Well, it is not another person's belief if they are unwittingly in a holy union, such as marriage.
You're right.
And they are unaware that this sort of abomination in the eyes of God,
you're right,
is going on under their own roof.
You should be honest with your spouse.
And I don't think we need a month to celebrate that. I'm a survivor of just precisely this sort of thing. Tell you, it is not an easy thing to go through, especially if you are a good Christian woman like myself.
Are you saying that you, because we know from talking with you in the past that you are a widow, are you saying that you were married to a homosexual and didn't know it?
I call myself a widow lady.
Right.
Because I find that it engenders more respect and more sympathy. But in reality, I am still married.
Oh, you are?
Yes, although I don't have anything to do with my husband.
So is he
because I don't believe in divorce,
right,
either.
He was a homosexual.
I believe that is an affront to the Lord as well.
Right. He is a homosexual.
Yes,
your
he
husband.
Is.
What's your husband's name?
My husband's name is Malcolm.
Malcolm.
Uh-huh. And
you still go by your married name, so it's Malcolm Williams?
Yes, well, actually, that's not really an issue because both my maiden name is Williams also.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No relation, though, to the husband?
Not that I am aware
of. Okay, all right. So,
but I do know that you have to come to some sort of terms with it for your own sanity.
Right.
And although I realize that Malcolm is going to burn in hell eternally.
Yes.
I have to come to grips with the fact that he did give me five beautiful children.
So he was one of those closet homosexuals that wanted a family, five children, all by him?
Yes, I have my daughter, Kabbalah. is 15. My daughter Rustina is 13. My son Jabbar is 12. My son Maxima is 11.
How's Jabbar doing, though?
Jabbar is doing very well.
Didn't you have a child that was in prison?
And my daughter Piranha is 10.
Didn't you have a son that was in prison?
Well, yes, I did.
Is he still there?
No, I don't. As far as I'm concerned, he is no longer my son.
Okay.
I have disowned him permanently.
You didn't mention him in that list.
No, because I believe he's burning in hell as well.
Okay. So he's dead?
Well, he's dead to me, and that's all that matters in my world.
But getting back to
your husband. I would like to just reach out to the people.
Yeah.
And I know that this goes on. I know it's difficult to talk about. My husband, Malcolm, was a big, burly-ass, 6'4" man. He drove a bakery truck.
Uh-huh.
And he would lift that bread all day.
Right.
And he went and drove a bakery truck. He got up real early in the morning, you understand?
Sure.
And then he would come back and be done with his day by noon, and we would just make sweet love all day long.
But how did you find out about the lover, the homosexual lover?
Well, the way that it started, well, I don't know how long he had a lover for.
Right, lover.
But I did find one day... It's very distasteful to talk about.
Well, you know,
but just if I can help one other person, it's worth all of the distaste.
Tell us how you found it.
Well, I found a little old box back in the closet, and it was all done up all glittery.
Right.
You know, like when you do little craft, you glue the glitter on it.
Sure.
And in gold glitter, it said Malcolm's Treasure Chest. And inside there was all manner of naughty, nasty things.
Toys.
And a big old butt plug.
So did you? You obviously confronted your husband, Malcolm.
Well, yes, I did. And he said it was nothing, that he was joking.
Right.
And I said, well, you get that filth out of my house. This is a house of God.
Right.
And he did.
Well, that's nice.
Then Halloween come around, and he dressed up like Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz. And getting my kids beat up because they're calling their daddy a sissy man.
Right.
And he said, it's just a holiday. I said, well, if you Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz, then I'm the Wicked Witch, and I'm going to put some flying monkeys on your ass.
So he finally admitted then, huh?
Well, no.
No.
Then I come home a couple of days later, and I found him watching the TV show Silver Spoons nude. And a lot of pictures of Rick Schrader around the house. And he was sitting there.
Yeah.
He was all nude except for a little tiny necktie.
Right.
And I don't know what that was. It was like what them Chippewa dancers wear.
Right.
And then he still was denying it. And he started spending a lot of time away from home. And so my sister, Venetia.
Venetia.
I told her that I needed her to do me a favor.
Right.
And to keep an eye on him. And she went and followed him.
Right.
And found him at a gay bar.
Right.
Called The Bottom. And she caught him.
Yeah.
And as it turns out, she caught him and his lover man.
Right.
He's a white gentleman by the name of Lee Daniels. And my sister Venetia catch them tongue kissing.
Really?
Dancing to the Village People.
Oh, my God.
And then if it don't add insult to injury, he says, well, I guess it's all out in the open, and you're going to tell Sarita about it. She says, well, you're damn right I'm going to tell her. That's my sister.
Right.
And he says, well, before you tell her about it, you better think about it. And how about we get what they call a daisy chain? With him and her and Lee Daniels. She says, that is an abomination in the eyes of God.
Right.
See, he didn't even realize that she had followed him.
Right.
He thought that she was just there of her own accord,
Sarita.
But she was not. She was on a mission from God.
Right.
She wasn't there to hook up with an ass bandit.
Sarita, I've got to go. Do you hold any meetings for people that want, you know, locally?
Well, no. Most people's too embarrassed. But
right.
I figure if my husband Malcolm can go from a 6'4" hunk of man driving a bakery truck to working at the antique boutique with Lee Daniels, it could happen to anybody.
All right, Sarita. I'll see you later.
All right.
Come on.
Last Thursday night, the Beatles were in town and packed our show out there with about over 14,000 children, a great majority being girls. Now, these are the youngsters from the better homes, because the underprivileged cannot afford $5 a seat, and the reservations were made last April. Now, this court is not approved, but the question is, can you take 14,000 children and pack them in to one stadium, and they know they're coming there to get hysterical, and the whole show was based upon producing hysteria, and then these girls went into a coma. They ranted. They fainted. Their eyes were glassy. Some pulled their hair out. Some tore their dresses. They threw notes of a very undesirable nature on the stage. Some girls, after the performance, kissed the stage, and some went up and kissed the very seats in which the Beatles had sat. One father brought a child who was epileptic, and the child had an epileptic fit. I think we can all agree that the show was not good, and if it's not good, why must we have it? I believe that a dictionary definition of a beetle is a bug. And of course, a bug also means being crazy. One newspaper said that the girls stripped off the veneer of civilization. But if you could see how uncontrollable they were, the glassy eyes, the physical and mental condition, you would agree that the show was not good for them.
Heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on now. Listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off your feet. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney on all afternoon. Now from Naples to Fort Myers, all all over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Port Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Local radio that there's ever been. The show is so damn good it makes the Pope wanna sin. The bell out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Hot paradise. Listen to us once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
96 K-Rock is where we've been for many years. Mm-hmm. It's not a bad place to be. Besides, we've been told we can check out any time we like.
Yeah.
And then they said something else.
What was
it? But I forgot what it was.
Something by the Dan and Haney.
On 96 K-Rock.
Check out any time you like.
Yeah, something like that. Well, you can never.
Don't worry about it. You can check out any time you like.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, Tuesday edition of the broadcast.
And unfortunately, we don't have sound, but we're assuming that the president is calling off the whole Iran deal.
Oh, yeah, he is. They got news of it about an hour before he went on the air, because I guess he had to let certain people know, and they, of course, leak it to the news media. And, yeah, he's telling the world, F you. You gave us a bad deal.
It's a terrible deal.
It's a terrible deal. He said it from the very beginning. At some point today, I've got to play you these clips that I went and culled. I was watching, first of all, if you've listened to this show for any length of time, you know that there are certain people throughout the history of time that Haney and I admire. One of them, in the motion picture industry,
Peter Brecht.
Well, that too. And in the television industry, was a man who was just simply referred to as the Great One.
Oh, yeah.
Jackie Gleason.
They don't make him like that anymore.
And I'm explaining to my girlfriend, because she was, first time ever she watched Smokey and the Bandit over the weekend. First time,
and
first
she,
time ever.
And was she knee slapping?
She was, you know, she's still trying to grasp it, but she was chuckling about it and enjoying it. And
please tell me she laughed when he said, "Thank you, nice lady."
So I explained.
Did she?
I wasn't paying attention. But here's the deal. She goes, "Oh, my dad really loves Jackie Gleason." Because we found out, I was just searching around, and it was weird odds that I was watching Smokey and the Bandit. This month, Time, Life, whatever it is releasing the Jackie Gleason variety show. All in living color with the Honeymooners in color and all of the stuff that he did during the 60s. And I tried to explain to her, you know, how great he was. Everything he touched was gold. Everything he did, that's how he got to be the Great One. He lived life to the fullest.
How sweet it is.
So, yeah. So, talking about that, and I ordered him. But I had him on the brain after watching Smokey and the Bandit. And come to find out, I came across his interview that he did on 60 Minutes about 3 years before he died. So his career was over with. He was living the good life.
So this was after the Tom Hanks movie?
All at 1984. I think the Tom Hanks movie came out in 85, 86.
Yeah.
Because he died in 87. It was about 3 years before he died. Maybe about the time of the toy.
Mm-hmm.
And he went, and Morley Safer was interviewing him. And I said, I've got to take these little nuggets of pure wisdom. You see, not only was he talented in everything he did, he knew the business. And he knew the people around him that ran the movie business, the TV business.
What about the music business?
The
music
business.
He couldn't write music, didn't play an instrument, but had hit albums.
Yep. And these are just little drop-ins where he, as I would like to call it, the wisdom of Jackie Gleason, on how he dealt with the medium in which he worked. and the executives and the stuffed suits and how they would go and try to play the talent. And he was smart enough that he grew up in Brooklyn, knew how to play them a little bit, and basically got what he wanted. Giving it to you in perspective, and hopefully we'll be able to do it later today. This is mid-1960s. His first contract to do a variety show on CBS, 1960s money, Bill Paley, head of CBS, paid him $11 million. And he was by far the wealthiest entertainer on television. And he goes into just little quick little mentions about what it means to have that kind of power and how having that kind of power can also be a curse as the way that they'll use it against you. And he just pure genius. And I thought it was absolutely great. And I got like 5 or 6, 10-second little words of wisdom from the great one. And hopefully later on today we can play it.
I wish we could have kept him longer.
Yeah, he was only like 70 when he died, 72, something like that. So there you go. We're going to take a break.
Great, great admiration for him.
Yep. One of the greatest entertainers of anything he touched was gold.
And he could do it all.
Yep. Look at Trump signing now.
Like that angry signature.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have the grab bag for you.
Some of us haven't forgotten the hostages, you bastards.
Yeah, that's right. Mike Chiannopoulos is in today. We'll play Name That Movie as Trump's showing his signature everywhere. Thank you, Mr. President. It was a bad deal. It was a bad deal.
We made Jason Priestley cry like a woman. And we can do the same for you if you're some sort of effeminate, drug-addled, washed-up asshole. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Yeah, we got a list. We can bring them up anytime. Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us. $1,000 safe word at 4 o'clock. About an hour away, Mike Chiannopoulos going to be in here. He's a lawyer. He's here to help you. He's an attorney, Esquire. A lot of people have a lot of crap in their lives, and Mike comes in to try to at least point you in the right direction. I don't know how many times, you think, what the hell do I do? How am I stuck? Are they screwing me?
I love having him in here, and we had a great email from a listener regarding Mike Chiannopoulos. And one day we had Mike explain exactly what's happening with this Russia investigation. And the listener was like, that's the first time anybody had ever just flat out explained it.
The legalities of things. How can they do this? And it takes it right down to a personal level. How can somebody do this to me?
Mm-hmm.
Am I being raked over the coals? Do I need representation? That's why Mike's here. Also,
I remember when Beasley put a special counsel on us. We quashed that quick.
Yeah, very very quickly. Also, Name That Movie later on today.
I said, why can't this be handled by the usual Beasley Justice Department?
Well, they backed down quick.
You got to be aggressive.
Grab bag brought to you by...
What I always say.
Yep, the pewter mug. U.S. 41 North Davis. Our favorite girl has a problem.
Oh, you don't say.
She's always late.
And now it's time for another episode of 1 Minute Inside a Woman's Head.
How am I running late again? Just a quick breakfast meeting and I can't be on time? I hope she's not upset when I finally get there. This is a client I'm supposed to be impressing. I am always late for everything. At dinner parties, I always have to come up with a new excuse. My boss called at the last minute. Doesn't he know I have a life? Or my tire was low and I had to stop to fill it. When I'm late to a date, I have to pretend it's the first time. I am so sorry. This never happens. I think late people are so rude. But why am I always late? As a grown-up especially. I don't even have kids or a husband to slow me down. Does having a husband and no kids slow you down? Aren't they there to get all the other stuff ready to go so you can run on time? Anyway, here I am. I'll just tell her there was a lot of traffic and I didn't want to text while driving. Hey, she's not even here yet. Oh, here she comes, 20 minutes late. Mm. Oh, there was bad traffic? Really? Please.
And that was another episode of 1 Minute Inside a Woman's Head.
Did you hear about this one? The cop in Orange County, California?
What's this about?
Well, guy comes into the gas station / convenience store, bought a pack of Mentos.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Reached over the counter to put him in his pocket. He was getting his change, and when he did, an off-duty cop goes and pulls a gun on him. It's so creepy. It's so... Look, there's the picture of it. Take a listen to this. Keep in mind, the guy has paid for his Mentos. He's getting change. Off-duty cop pulls a gun.
Hey, keep that back. 15 bucks. Oh, thank you.
I paid for it.
Put it back. Police officer.
I just paid for this.
Put it back. Oh. Try stealing that from you.
I just paid.
Get your cash and leave.
Okay.
Get your cash and leave.
I just paid.
Did he pay for this?
Yeah.
He paid for it?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
My apologies, sir. My apologies.
I didn't feel like initial fear. I felt more like anger because nowadays we see all these videos on Facebook and, you know, about, you know, cops mistreating people. And that went through my mind. It's like, are you serious? I mean, this is happening right now? And so it made me mad.
He didn't mistreat anybody.
No.
Well, he pulled a gun on him over candy.
Yeah, but he didn't know what it was.
As soon as the clerk said he paid for it, he said, my apologies.
My apologies. But still a gun. Still a gun.
It's a peacemaker.
A friendly persuader. A blue steel baby.
Look, the guy should understand. The guy's at the counter. All he wanted was the fresh maker. And then the peacemaker got involved.
God made man. Colt made him equal.
Haney.
No, I mean, seriously. The cop, my apologies.
Yeah, but.
You know what? No, I wouldn't like that if that happened to me.
Yeah, it would make you mad.
But at the same time, what has that cop seen to make him react that way?
Well, but he knew it was a quote-unquote shoplifting incident. He said, put it back. So you can pull a gun out for somebody for shoplifting?
His gun was already out when he said, put it back. Put it back. You.
Are we supposed to say that stealing's okay?
He didn't steal. He paid.
Cop didn't know that.
That's when you detain and question.
That's what he was doing. He de-escalated the situation.
He de-escalated. Okay.
He was de-escalating the situation.
Anything
That's what he was doing.
Anything you say.
Now I'm sure he gets a nice 2 weeks off paid.
Did you hear about this woman, Kendra Jackson?
What happened with Kendra?
Kendra
Jackson?
Yeah, she's from Nebraska. And
hey, Kendra.
Yeah. Hey, baby. She's had a runny nose.
Yes, I did hear about this.
For years.
And they told her not to worry about
it. Doctors kept
allergies.
Saying, allergies, don't worry about it, everything's
and she's
fine.
Going, you don't understand it, it's nonstop.
I'm always wiping my nose.
Yep.
Just invest in Kleenexes, you'll be all right.
No. Turned out, it wasn't a runny nose.
It was fluid from a closed system.
She was leaking brain fluid.
Everywhere I went, I always had a box of puffs. Always stuffed in my pocket, like a waterfall. I knew something was wrong.
A waterfall?
I knew it. I'm like, spinal fluid? I couldn't sleep. I was like a zombie. I was up all night. I could tell a great big difference. Oh, man, a great big difference.
So what'd they do, just super glue it shut?
Yeah, I think so. They just went and looked around and...
put a tampon up there.
Let's listen to Rudy Giuliani and try to explain.
You know, it's going to take him a couple of weeks to read up on all this stuff.
This is more rumor than it is anything else.
Well, that's what you said. You said that to BuzzFeed.
But here's the I mean, that's one of the possibilities and one of the rumors. The reality is...
You stated it as fact.
Well, maybe I did, but right now I'm at the point where I'm learning, and I can't prove that. I can just say it's rumor. I don't know. How do you separate fact and opinion?
He's got a. I was watching.
Would not want his job.
No, I was watching Hannity live the night he was talking about with Cohen and the money, the hush money, and it's all paid back. Yeah, Donald paid it back, and I'm like, oh, then they went to a commercial, and Hannity gave him every chance to correct the answer, and he didn't.
Well, you know, when you hire Rudy Giuliani, you know what you're getting.
You do. But Rudy Giuliani should also, he gets on a roll, especially when he's in friendly surroundings.
Let's keep in mind, when is the last time Rudy Giuliani was involved in an actual court case as an attorney?
30 years?
Now, Rudy Giuliani is invaluable, and I think a great hire, because he knows what these bozos are up to.
I know
he hired these bozos. He just knows everything about them. He knows what they're trying to do.
It's just been 30 years. and maybe.
Do you want to tell me that when Rudy Giuliani sat down with Bob Mueller, Mueller didn't react a little differently to whoever was there before?
Let me explain something. And those of you that don't know about Rudy Giuliani, New York's mayor. Before he was mayor of New York City, he was a state prosecutor who went after the mob.
Mm-hmm.
He took down some of the biggest organized crime heads in New York.
So you contrast that with Mueller, who protected Whitey Bulger for years and set people up to take the fall for him.
Eli Manning. He's coming back for another season. He's played the Philadelphia Eagles a lot. They're in their division. And he knows how bad the fans are in Philadelphia.
Well, Philadelphia knows how bad the fans are.
Yep. Here, Eli talks about, I know how I handle Philly fans, including kids.
Philly, it takes a little while to get used to Philly, just because, like, you're not used to seeing, like, a 9-year-old, you know, kind of, like, cursing at you. Once you get used to that, it takes a year or two. Now he's 24, and he's got, you know, training his 4-year-old to curse at you.
Poor Eli. Gets no respect.
None.
And how many rings he got?
He's got 2.
Why doesn't he get any respect?
I don't know. Phil Collins, a guy you want to be friends with.
It makes so much sense that Phil Collins and I would be friends, and I don't know why we're not.
He's about ready to do his U.S. tour, first time in 12 years. His 16-year-old son, Nicholas, is going to be on drums for him. Now, if you're wondering...
Put that 16-year-old back to work.
Now, if you're wondering whether a 16-year-old kid can keep up, check out his drum solo from last summer. He'll be just fine.
It's like Eli Manning. When your dad's Archie Manning, you learn how to throw a football. When your dad's Phil Collins, you learn how to play the drums.
Well, somebody brought up a good thing on the Absolute Law text line about the cop pulling the gun on the guy with the Mentos.
Yeah.
Why didn't, during that whole altercation, didn't the clerk speak up sooner? Oh, no, no, he bought that. It took, like, at least 15, 20 seconds before the clerk said anything.
The clerk didn't say anything until he was asked.
Yeah. There's the problem. We know this about Brian Johnson, the hearing loss. Huey Lewis, gonna have to stop touring. He's got hearing loss, and it's a strange thing. He was on, where was he? He was on the Today Show on Monday, talking about what happened to him and the symptoms of it.
This is a weird thing, and you and I know people that have dealt with this.
Yep.
And it's very frustrating. Because when you go to, you know, your basic doctor, who's not a specialist, it takes forever to even figure out what the hell is going on. I guess if you're Huey Lewis, you find out faster.
Yeah, but he didn't know what was going on either, and he explained why I had to stop.
As I walked to the stage, it sounded like there was a jet engine going on. I knew something was wrong. I couldn't find pitch. Distorted nightmare. The bass goes... It's literally noise.
Real for me
it's
now.
Cacophony. Even though I can hear you, we can talk. I can talk on the phone, but I can't sing. I can't hear music. And so, you know, I can do everything but what I love to do the most.
Yeah.
Which is, is a drag. The bad news about Meniere's is that they don't know what it is.
Yeah.
It's a syndrome based on symptoms, and it affects people differently. And all they can come up with as a treatment is a diet. No caffeine, lower salt, and keep your fingers crossed. But the good news is it can get better. It just hasn't yet.
And they prescribe steroids. They believe that it's an inflammation issue.
Yeah.
And it also
has to wait.
He didn't go into it, but it also causes extreme issues with your balance.
Mm-hmm.
Where you'll get dizzy and...
You know as well as I do. Think about this for everybody that's listening. You say, oh, it affects your balance. Got an ear infection or something where one of your ears is blocked.
Yeah.
You have... It all ties in. Mm-hmm. It all ties in. You got something wrong in your ear or deep in your sinuses or something, it affects your balance. Okay, I'm going to make a statement right here as we play our final clip. Now, I love this kid. I think he's peaking too soon, and we're talking about the Walmart yodeler.
I knew you were talking about him before you even said it, the way you were describing it.
Gets discovered in the Walmart, gets to go on all the talk shows, gets to cut his record.
Mm-hmm. And they made a big mistake because he's not yodeling on that record.
No. Most people wait in the country, in Western music business, most people wait and work hard for decades to get onto the Grand Ole Opry stage.
Think his flame's burning too bright?
Yeah. And here's something else nobody's thinking about. His voice is going to change. His career, when his voice changes...
Yeah, he won't be able to yodel like that.
So inside of a couple of months, he goes from yodeling at the Walmart to going on the talk shows to cutting a record and now at the Grand Ole Opry.
I got a feeling, God, I'm blue. Hold on to my baby, say goodbye.
His voice is going to change.
Lord, I don't know what to do. All I do is sit and sigh. Goodbye. Well, Lord, I thought I would cry. She do me, she do you. She's got the kind of loving. Lord, I love to hear when you call me sweet daddy. Such a beautiful dream. I hate to think it all over. I lost my heart vaccines. I've grown so used to you somehow. Lord, I'm nobody's sugar daddy now, and I'm lonesome. I got lovesick blues.
Nice. Good song selection to play at the Grand Ole Opry, but this is all too fast.
Well, good song selection, but also, you choose that song, you better not screw it up.
Correct. But I think he's too fast, and it's going to come crashing down. And yeah, you got to think of some artists that have been out there busting ass for 15, 20 years.
Well, it's not the kids' fault.
No, it's the people around them. Grab Bags brought to you by the Pewter Mug. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. Take your phone calls. I'll also play a little Wisdom of Jackie Gleason. Great stuff. He's great. Not the great one. We're Stan and Haney.
Find the G-spot.
Oh, my gosh.
And hit the jackpot.
Yeah!
Four times a day.
I won $1,000.
Hi. Something happened there.
That was fun.
How do you do?
Hi.
Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us. What the hell? Songs fading out, and I start finding out about the G-spot. Stan and Haney, everything's fine here on this end. 277-9600 if you want to talk to us. 239 area code. We're about 30 minutes away from Mike Chiannopoulos joining us as well. Safe word, straight up 4 o'clock, less than an hour away. I was telling you earlier, Wisdom of Jackie Gleason, the
we
great one.
Love Jackie Gleason.
Love this man, and he was successful in everything he did. Movies, television, music.
And really put Miami on the map.
Well, that was another thing that he talked about in this 1984 interview. He said he told CBS, don't want to do the show anymore. He says, I came to Miami, liked to play golf down here, and wanted to do it year-round. And he told them, I'm not doing my show anymore. And they said, what do you want? And he said, well.
Well, since you asked.
Since you asked, I would like to have a theater down in Miami. And we'll get some train cars, and we're going to go and get a couple of Dixieland bands, bring some ladies on board, and have a traveling bar, and we're going to go down
there
to Miami.
There we go.
And we'll do the show from down there so I can play golf all the time. They gave it to him. They gave it to him. Why did they give it to him? Here he is in his own words, why they gave him anything he wanted.
That's right. When you've got good ratings, and you're 1, 2, or 3 in the ratings, there is nothing your little heart desires that they don't provide.
It's the truth.
He is beyond awesome.
Now, he often had his ideas shot down early on. Nobody, he didn't rehearse. He didn't practice. Couldn't read music, didn't read scripts, nothing. It was all ad-lib with him. And sometimes he made a bad decision because a lot of yes people would tell him, this is a great idea. And he said, trust me, they were full of them.
There are executives who have a great talent, and that talent is to say yes, that sounds like no, or no, that sounds like yes. So they continue in their job because they had this great talent. I might have been drinking too much, but I went along with it.
Yeah, his only failure. Here's Jackie.
He's the man.
Told you, he signed an $11 million contract in the 1960s which would be...
And away we go.
And Morley asked him, how did you go about contract negotiation to get an $11 million contract to do your variety show?
The first one we had was for $11 million. And I had a terrible hangover. And I was at the table with all the agents, and we had lunch at Paley's room. And I fell asleep. And Paley said, well, if that's his attitude, give it to him.
And he said, be careful of success. Be careful of it, because that's when the executives got you.
Well, I should have had more respect for money, because I never had any. And I don't know why. And I also had no fear when I should have had fear. For instance, the way they used to get you, they would get you to paint yourself into a corner of luxury. Then they would start to dictate, because they knew that you feared losing that money. And so you'd give up your independence and go along with them. It was threats to your security and kudos to your ego. That's how they operated. But I learned that on the corner of Chauncey Street in Brooklyn when I was a little kid. And I knew when they were telling me how great I was that they had something coming up next that they wanted or wanted me to do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and he also believed, because, you know, $11 million back then, but he blew all the money. He spent it. He had a philosophy on that.
I think everybody should make two fortunes. One to blow, to really live it up with, and then the other for security.
And he asked him finally.
But we got neither.
No, I know. But this philosophy, he asked Jackie, you know, well, what would you do if you're broke?
If I were broke tomorrow, it would hurt for a while. But I'd go back to living like I used to live.
Plain and simple.
Yeah?
Been there, done that. If I had, it'd hurt for a while. And I'd do what I gotta do. The great one, Jackie Gleason. 277-9600. Was a brilliant man. Brilliant man. We've got...
And that's one interview we will never, ever get.
No. Him and Howard Cosell.
But we got Uncle Milty.
We did get Uncle Milty. Here's what we got for you. 277-9600. Contribute to the show. We could throw you a prize. Free oil change. You hear us talking about Naples Nissan all the time. Free standard oil change. Go down there. It doesn't matter what kind of car you have. If you want to get a standard oil change, we'll give you a certificate. Go down there and get your car's oil change for free at Naples Nissan. We have a round of golf at Palmetto Pines Country Club. We have an HD tuner for your car. Here's the thing. If your car is analog, you got an older car, don't know the joys of HD radio, crystal clear sound, the sub-channels that you get. Right here on K-Rock has sub-channels. All the other stations, mm-hmm. sub-channels. Hook this up to your car, and you're HD and ready to go. This thing's like $100-something. We have tickets to a Miracle Baseball game of your choice. We've got a Stan bobblehead. We got $20 to Bernie's City Diner in Naples, 277-9600. We open up the show for you every day at this time. Contribute, and we could throw you a prize. Haney, what do you got for us? Love it. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Daryl from Tampa.
Hey, Daryl from Tampa.
So listen to you guys since 95 since I moved down from Chicago.
Thank you, buddy.
Jackie Gleason.
Yes, sir.
Don't know if you saw the movie, but the guy that played Ray Romano's brother and Everybody Loves Raymond
yeah.
did an awesome job.
Did we lose him?
I think we might have lost him.
Long distance from Tampa.
Yeah. And yes, he did that movie probably about 10, 15 years ago. 277-9600.
Yeah, it's being reported now that some gas stations are going ahead and they're already raising their gas prices since the Trump deal went through. Since he pulled the deal with Iran. So some of them are already jumping the gun and raising gas prices.
Nonsense.
We
got our own gas.
Look.
There's a station on Colonial that raised it by 16 cents already.
I want people to understand something about the price that we pay at the pump. Of course, we have refineries and all of that stuff that are down in the Gulf, and they're all around the country. Very old refineries that once they break down, there's a problem. But you got to take the crude oil, and you got to make it into gasoline. We have those processing plants. It's done here in the United States. We are on the world oil market. The world oil market dictates the price that you pay for a barrel of oil. OPEC dictating how many barrels of oil is going to come out of the Middle East. You're going to go and set the price. The United States of America has enough oil in this country that we don't have to worry about any other country. Mm-hmm. We get our oil here in the United States and we ship it out
yep.
to be put on the world market. So, the Iran deal, well, that's going to jack gas prices up. It doesn't have to.
Fracking changed everything.
We have enough oil if we wanted to say, screw all of you. We'll be self-sufficient. They would be in a crisis because we mm-hmm. supply such a huge glut of oil to the world market. But you won't hear that because what you pay for sweet crude that's made into gasoline is a world market price that we contribute to. That's how everything's twisted. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, ahoy, gentlemen. This is Steve. How are you?
Hey, Steve.
I was just commenting on the gasoline thing. I heard D-Train saying that some of the gas stations are just on the news are raising the prices. Maybe it's something where I'm misinformed, but isn't there a law where they can't raise the prices until they get a new shipment of gasoline?
Yeah, because it's already been, the stuff that's in their tanks at mm-hmm. the gas station has already been paid for.
Exactly.
Yep.
I was just wondering. I just wanted you guys to...
Yeah, I don't know. And again, that's another shady thing, because if you remember about 10 years ago when gas prices were up to about $4.
Yeah.
And that was the whole thing. Local news was doing stories. Network news was doing stories that gas that's in those tanks at your local gas station are already paid for.
Absolutely. They paid a lower price, and so they're not supposed to gouge us at that point.
Yep. Go. I don't have
an
answer to that.
Not supposed to gouge during hurricanes either, but we see how well that works.
277-9600.
Boy, you should have seen D-Train's Twitter feed after that.
Woo-hoo! Woo! Ahoy. Ahoy.
Ahoy.
Yeah, hi, who's this?
This is Ken out in California.
Hey, California?
California.
What you doing out there in California?
Yeah, what you doing out in California?
Playing in the heat, delivering dirt.
You're a dirt deliveryman?
Do you live out in California?
Yes, sir.
Which one?
Yeah, do you have a stick pin yet?
No.
Where in California do you live? We'll give you a stick pin on our giant map of the United States.
Marietta, California.
Marietta, California. And where's that near?
South of Riverside.
Stick pin, south of Riverside, Marietta, California. Stick pin, stick pin.
Now, D-Train said...
Thank you.
D-Train said which one, because California, they're talking about splitting it up.
Yeah, three states.
Do you support it?
No. Yeah, I do. I'm the Republican side.
All right. Well,
yeah. There's a lot of Republicans in California, a lot more than people would think.
Because they want to make Northern California, California, and Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, it's bad out here. You guys talk about the gas prices there. They're talking about diesels out here. I'm a truck driver, obviously.
Uh-huh.
Diesel's going to be over $5 a gallon after the summer.
And they were already predicting before Trump even said anything about this that the gas prices were going to go up big time this summer.
And
we already pay a higher tax on our gas. That's why our gas is so high.
I read a lot of stories about people just giving up on California and moving.
I'm ready to get out.
Yeah, because you're taxed to all hell. And here's the thing. What you're paying for a price of gas is just a portion of state tax, county tax.
I'm going over to Arizona this weekend to the river, and I'm not going to put fuel in my pickup until I get over there because it's $3 cheaper in Arizona.
$3.
Yeah, California's insane.
Hey, I appreciate you calling. Thank you for listening to us out in California. Did you live here locally and take us with you?
No, sir. I found you after listening to Bubba.
Awesome.
I found Bubba on the app.
Well, and you know, we got a reputation with the truckers.
I know.
Thank you.
We
do.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Great talking to you. California. Love it. 277-9600.
Do you know, I didn't, I just found out today, that looking at the 2016 election results.
Yeah.
With all of the blue voters in California,
yeah.
You know what was bright red?
What?
Beverly Hills.
Oh, of course. I have probably bright red, too, in San Diego. Ahoy, who's this?
Kelly in Naples.
Hey, Kelly.
How we doing, guys?
Doing good, buddy. What's up?
A couple things. Just to piggyback on that car earlier that he was talking about, Brad Garrett is a great...
Yes.
And started his. He was actually a waiter of mine out in Marina Del Rey in TGI Fridays a long time ago when he was a.
Brad Garrett was.
Now, did he have a lot of flair?
Yeah,
he did.
And did he wear all his badges?
Yeah, that's flair.
and do all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely, man. He's making big bucks.
But of course, we have to condemn him, though.
Yeah.
Because we're not allowed to like him anymore.
Why?
Because he said a bad word.
He did?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Don't you remember?
No.
I don't remember what bad word he said. Brad Garrett said a bad word?
Yeah, he said the N-word on stage.
No, that's Kramer. Brad Garrett played on Kramer. The brother on Everybody Loves Raymond.
Oh, yeah, I get them mixed up, the two of them.
Yeah, Brad Garrett's like 6'8". Yeah,
have they ever been seen in the same room together?
They're not. There's a difference. Brad Garrett's a lot bigger.
I don't see the difference.
Hey, what can I get you, buddy?
We can still love him, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay with that one. It's Kramer you can't like anymore. Yeah,
Michael Richards.
What do you want?
Oh, that HD radio.
Done. Hold on. 277-9600.
Sorry about that, Brad
there's
Garrett.
There's Brad Garrett. You know him. Used to love Everybody Loves Raymond.
What?
You used to love that show.
Did I?
Yes.
When?
Year long when it was on. It's been off the air probably for 15 years.
I like that Patricia Heaton.
Oh, what was that? The Mrs.?
Yeah.
All right. And see, then, I never watched the
and
show.
And then she went on to be the mom on The Middle, married to the janitor from Scrubs.
Gotcha. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Tony in North Fort Myers.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, I was just at the Home Depot, 41 and Pine Island Road, and the Home Audio minivan guys are out there.
Of course they are. You know what? And we talked.
How do they make a living?
We talked to our police friends because a sucker's born every minute. The only way that they can get them is if they're caught right in the act.
Yeah. And now they've got projectors, 4K projectors in there too.
Ooh, how much? How much?
I didn't stick around long enough to hear.
Oh, man.
So did they come after you?
They approached me right coming out of the door of Home Depot.
Well, what was the exchange? How'd you get rid of them?
I just said, not interested. And the guy said, thanks. And he said some profanities. And I've got my 5-year-old daughter in the backseat of my truck.
Oh, man.
Jeez.
Hey, man, I got a deal for you. I just did a job. We ordered too much equipment. How would you like X, Y, and Z? It's always the same
racket. Exactly.
Hey, yep. can you and your daughter want to go to a baseball game?
Absolutely.
All right, I'm going to give you some tickets to go see the Miracle. Hold on.
Yeah, back where we used to live on the other coast, it was amazing. This seafood truck kept breaking down.
Yeah. Also, I remember years ago, there were the steaks, too.
Yep.
Selling steaks.
Truck broke down.
Yep. Got you know what? Can't keep these things cold. I'll make you a good deal on some steaks.
You get a steal.
Yeah. Come to find out, you know, they're dog steaks or some kind of animal.
I told you, the radio station I worked for over there had me working for cattle rustlers.
Don't kid yourselves, especially in Florida. That's still a big-time crime. Cattle rustling will get you life.
Mm-hmm.
Ahoy, who's this? I ain't got time. Got to take a break.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
We're going to continue to take your phone calls when we come back, but they will be for Mike Chiannopoulos, attorney at law. Every one of us needs advice at some point in time. I don't have an attorney on retainer. Now's your opportunity with a lawyer in studio to ask him some advice about what's going on. It could be family law, child support, alimony, visitation of your kids. You know your wife's getting ready to divorce you. What do you got to do? DUI, criminal, veterans issues. You know, he's a vet. Military judge, too.
Knows his way around the VA, too.
Knows his way around the VA. Mike Chiannopoulos is next. If you want to talk to him, get ready. 277-9600. He's next. We're Stan and Haney.
This is not a test. If this were an actual test, we would have told you otherwise. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Mike Chiannopoulos in studio right now, 277-9600. He is a gentleman in good standing with the Florida Bar, to the best of my knowledge.
And to the best of mine.
And we are in good standing with many Florida bars.
Yes, we are. Yeah, a lot of them run me a tab.
Mm-hmm. We haven't been banned.
Nope, not in a few years. 277-9600. Mike Chiannopoulos here in studio taking your phone calls. He comes in here for one reason. Now, I'm going to tell you, he came in looking ragged. He was like running around because he's doing business to help people.
He's doing the people's work.
Yep, I can help. And he's coming in and he's saying, I won't miss this. I want to help the people of Southwest Florida with any of their legal situations. Family law, first of all, is just horrible. Mm. I mean, because you're dealing with two people that at one point in time loved each other and may have had a child.
Well, one of them pretended to love the other.
Right. And then when things go south or are about to go south, I always love saying this. If you think your wife or and vice versa, your husband, mainly the wife, that something's not right. And you think that she might have herself an attorney and is going to spring something on you. Do yourself a favor. Have your own attorney.
Yeah.
Because you're going to need it.
And here's a tip for you. If she has been a bitch on wheels for years and years and years, and all of a sudden she starts being nice to you,
yep,
head for the hills.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure sign that there's problems ahead.
Mm-hmm. You know, summer is coming, and who's going to get the kids? It's supposed to be your turn, but she says, no, we're taking them with her new boyfriend, out west somewhere. Chances are
and
you're
they call
need...
him daddy now.
Yep. Chances are you're going to need an attorney. Criminal, DUI. We were talking about Mike Chiannopoulos is a veteran and has served this country and understands veterans' issues as well. This is your opportunity to talk to somebody that knows what he's talking about. You went to school for this, right?
I did.
Okay.
a long time.
Yeah, that's too much school, baby. Too much.
277-9600. Mike Chiannopoulos can help. Doodle-doo-doodle-doo-doo.
There it is.
Well, your brain's faster than the computer, Stan.
Yep. That's something new.
I can help.
Oh, you can sing too.
I
got two
strong arms. I can help. It would sure do me good to do you good. Let me help with your DUI, your divorce, child support, custody, any kind of criminal case, whatever you got. I'm going to help you.
Got a line open, 277-9600.
Quickly, before we get to the phone calls, have you been following the action in court with Robert Mueller or Mueller or whatever he is?
You know,
that judge slapped him down pretty good.
Well, I want to know where they got the authority. I mean, what federal judge signed off on a warrant to take a lawyer's client list? And more importantly, how did they leak it to the media? I don't care if Sean Hannity talked to this guy or, you know, who talked to this guy. What in the world? This is just a political witch hunt.
That's what the federal judge said, because he was the federal judge, and Paul Manafort entered a motion to dismiss on the basis that it was not under Mueller's authority.
Right.
And the judge basically agreed with him and grilled the lawyer for the special counsel and said, this would appear to be something that could be handled at the state level. You did that with Michael Cohen. Why aren't you doing that with Manafort? And they just wouldn't answer him. And the judge said, you know what I think? Here's what I think. Everything that you're going after was stuff that the Justice Department had declined to prosecute back in 2005. You did not discover this. He goes, in my opinion, what you're doing is trying to get Mr. Manafort to tell you things about your ultimate goal of impeaching President Trump.
Right. That's exactly right.
And unless you can prove me otherwise, I'll give you, what did he give him, like 30 days, 60
yeah,
days?
Something like that.
He said, to produce the unredacted statement of your authority, I'm going to dismiss this case.
There you go. Finally.
And then
you know, that lawyer should have, Cohen should have a lawsuit against the federal government. I mean, that's.
Can you ever win that?
Yeah, I think you can. I mean, that's clearly an invasion, and it's against his constitutional rights. That was a warrantless search. He did not have legal authority to do that. And what's most offensive to me about it is that he released names. He leaked names that were on that attorney-client list.
Well, the judge did that.
I mean, how did Hannity's name get out?
The judge.
Yeah, made him
say it. The judge made them say it in open court.
Made him.
Man. Why?
Because the judge is the same one that performed George Soros' wedding ceremony.
Yep. Ah.
277-9600. Here's Angel, been waiting on line two. Angel, you're on with Mike Chiannopoulos.
Ahoy.
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 What do you got for us today, Angel?
Michael? Mm-hmm. Hey. Okay, here's the deal. I was at my mom's, and I was walking her dog, and I got attacked by two German Shepherds.
Oh, boy.
I hate it when that
like,
happens.
Like, attacked. Crushing injury on my elbow. Ooh. My mom's dog was murdered. And I just want them, the neighbors who own the dogs, to pay for the vet bill, my hospital bill, etc. Do I have anything to stand on? I mean, I don't want repercussions. I don't want to be an idiot about it.
That sounds reasonable, Mike.
Yeah, that is reasonable. And I've handled probably a half a dozen of these in the last 3 or 4 years. One of them was down at the marina where somebody, the waiter was walking by, and somebody had the dog at an outdoor table, and the dog just jumped up and bit the waiter when he was walking by. So, yeah, you do. Why don't you give me a call, 239-ASK-MIKE. In fact, you can call now and tell them at, you know, when I get off the air to just put you through to my cell phone. They'll call you back and then just put you through to me on my cell phone, and I'll talk to you on my way back to the office.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm
all
sorry,
right,
that sorry that happened to you, Angel.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm telling you. It was a bloody mess. No funny
Oh.
Thank you, dear.
Yeah.
You're being very reasonable, Angel, because some people would say, I want $10 million now because I got hurt and blah, blah. You're being very reasonable.
She sounded very level-headed. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
277-9600. Mike, on the Absolute Law text line, we have a question. Mike, a quick question. My brother is going through a divorce, and his wife or ex-wife-to-be, is listed as a beneficiary on his retirement account.
Oh.
Can he take her off that during the divorce proceedings? He was told he could not. God forbid he died during the divorce and she gets all of his money and insurance money.
Yeah, if the divorce is in Florida, I don't know about any other state, he cannot.
Really?
Yeah, everything is frozen once the divorce is filed.
But she can't access it either.
She cannot access it, but if he dies during the divorce, right. His brother's right. It's all going to her.
Jeez.
If he dies before the divorce is final, because in the final judgment of divorce, the judge will say what happens to that retirement and who gets what. But if he dies during the process, yep, the brother's right. It all goes
to
him.
And there's no way to protect yourself against that?
You cannot change it once the divorce is filed.
That's
why you talk to me before the divorce is filed.
This is why we're saying if you suspect something's going on. Yeah. You might want to talk to an attorney.
It never hurts to have information. Knowledge is power.
And we try and drive this home anytime that we talk about divorce. Understandably, it's an emotional issue.
Yep.
All kinds of emotions. You can be depressed, angry, whatever. And that's understandable for you. But it is a legal issue, and that's why you need Mike on your side. Mm-hmm. Somebody who is thinking clearly, who is not involved.
Precisely.
Look at my logo for Absolute Law. On one side of the circle is the olive branch, and on the other side are arrows, meaning we can give you war or we can give you peace. I start out always by trying to get the parties to cooperate, because it's going to cost you a lot less. It costs you money to fight, and when you fight over things that you don't need to fight over, all you're doing is lining my pocket and the other lawyer's pocket. So I try to get everybody to cooperate. But when the other party, I usually can convince my client, but when the other party doesn't cooperate, and oftentimes it's because their lawyers don't want them to because they don't make any money unless there's a fight, then, okay, you know what? I take the olive branch back and I get out the arrows and, all right, let's go to war. And this is no different than fighting in Iraq. We just use motions and pleadings instead of hand grenades and rifles.
And, you know, that's where I wish people would get it through their heads, the difference between relationships and the law. It's the same thing where, you know, a woman might threaten a man, I'm going to call 911 and say you hit me.
Yep. And I've never heard that before.
And they think it's all a big joke. They call 911 and hang up, and then they're surprised when the police show up, and they go, look, somebody's got to go because you called.
Right.
But nothing happened. It was just...
Right.
Here's Scott, line
and it's
one.
The same thing when you get a divorce. If a client is acting out of emotion and telling lawyers, I want you to take him for every penny... You really need to do your best to take that out of it.
And many lawyers revel in the clients who say that. I do not. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What do you got for us today?
Well, I got a question, a little personal injury thing. I'm a old gentleman from the South here, Fort Myers Beach, since 1985. I was up in New York, had about 20 guys working for me. Got a call that one of my guys was down in the lobby drinking, drunk. Causing a problem. I had a choice. Well, he was drinking tequila, too.
Ew.
Had a choice. Yeah, not good. Had a choice of either going down, trying to get him out of trouble, or letting him go to jail. I went down, tried to get him out of trouble. He's half my age, and he got in my face, and, you know, shirt off. He was Tupac. He eats people like me for breakfast. In my face, shirtless. I pushed him. I did the first push, but I only pushed. I didn't punch him. And then it was on from there. And needless to say, young whippersnapper got the best of an old man. Ain't the first. He got no cherry, but he got the best of me. So I'm wondering if I even got a suit or if I got an opportunity to bring him up on charges for this. Just cover medicals, all I'm really worried about.
And that would really, it happened in New York, right?
Yeah.
So that's really going to be a New York issue, brother, and I don't know anything about New York law.
All right, man.
You're going to have to talk to a New York lawyer. Your first mistake is that you were in New York.
let's say what would happen in Florida with the same scenario?
You know, in Florida, it'd be a tough call because Scott made the first push. And even though it wasn't a punch, it can be considered.
First contact, right?
Well, and it would be considered an invitation to fight.
Even though the other guy is intoxicated and clearly out of order.
Yeah, if he grabbed him and was holding his hands behind his back, that would be different than the push. The push is going to be a problem for him under Florida law.
Mike, from the Absolute Law text line, a gentleman wants to know, is child support calculated on income and debt or solely income, no matter how much debt or debt one has?
Solely income. If you make $10,000 a month, but you have $9,000 a month in bills, it doesn't matter.
277-9600.
Speaking of Scott being up there in New York, what about this hashtag Me Too?
The Attorney General. Yep.
You know, Trump warned us he was a bum.
Yep. You heard him a long time ago just because he didn't like
go
him.
Check his Twitter feed. He's always told us.
Here's Mike on line two. Mike, thank you for holding. You're on with Mike Chiannopoulos.
Hey, yeah, Mike.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yes.
You're on.
Yes, I wanted to talk to you. I have a problem. Okay, what happened was is child services came to our kids' home to find out that me and my wife had just found out that they were strung out on heroin.
Oh.
Okay, and you got grandchildren living there?
Oh, three of them.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Okay, so we've got to the point to where child services have came out. They haven't done anything, okay? Since this time, we have gotten them into a detox program. Excuse me. And we have the children.
Okay.
My concern is, can child services come and take these children?
Technically, yes. What should have happened, and I'm not sure why it didn't, was as soon as child services came out and discovered that there was that kind of drug problem in the home, they should have filed what's called a shelter petition. It should have went in front of the dependency court. The dependency judge should have said, here's what's going to happen. We're going to take these children out of the home. We're entering a shelter order. Mom and dad, you can't go near the children unless it's supervised. I'm going to place these kids with a relative. If one suitable relative is available. If not, I'm going to have to put them in foster care. You could have come forward, gotten the kids, and then it would have all been in the system. Sounds like maybe they took a shortcut and said, okay, now they're in rehab. We didn't do something immediately, and now they're in rehab, and mom, grandma and grandpa have the babies. We're just going to leave it alone. But if for some reason they believe that you're going to place those children back in a dangerous situation, yes, they can come and take them. If they believe you're creating a dangerous situation, yes, they can come and take them. It sounds like they have no reason to believe either of those two things. And so they've got minimal resources in terms of the cases they have. So they're probably not going to mess with you.
All right.
This is great to hear. One other question. Okay.
Sure.
We would like to know where we would stand because we don't want them to be with the children until they're fully cured.
Right.
Okay. And I believe I'd like to have them maybe under supervised visits and stuff like that until they're cured. Where do we stand there?
Well, there's a couple of ways to do that. And, you know, you can go and do a guardianship, but that's going to cost you a lot of money out of your pocket. And if DCF intervenes, then it's free to you, and you get to go in front of the dependency judge. And that's what I would do. I would call DCF back and say, look, you guys got called out. There was a serious problem here. We addressed the problem. And I understand, you know, your position is, look, our concern is keeping the kids safe. The kids are now safe, so we don't want to get involved. Well, but wait a minute. We need your help to ensure the kids stay safe. And so let's go ahead and get a shelter petition filed and have the judge sign off on it because the kids are already here. Then when the parents come back from rehab, they'll have a case management checklist that they have to do. They have to stay sober. They have to subject themselves to random drug tests. They have to start with supervised visitation, and they have to go through this case plan and work their case plan in order to regain full custody of their children.
All right.
Yes.
Thank All right. You.
You're a good man.
Yes,
you've got
you
a
are.
Lot on your shoulders.
Well, it's a way to see that the children stay safe during the parents' healing process, so I would encourage that.
Appreciate the call. We have about 2 minutes left, but I do want to get this text out real quick because it's a simple question. I'll try to get in one more call. Guy wants to know, he already has a lawyer, but he desperately needs a second opinion. Is he allowed, and I think I know the answer to this, is he allowed to go and call you?
He's not. The bar prohibits that ethically because they don't want lawyers stealing each other's clients. But how I do that is I tell them, just be honest with the lawyer that you have and say, you know, I want a second opinion. If that person's a good lawyer, they're not going to be offended by that. I wouldn't be offended if it were me. I'd say, look, okay, I'm not perfect. I'm not the smartest guy that's ever lived. Get a second opinion. It's like a doctor. Get a second opinion. And as long as they have that lawyer's permission, right. I'll talk to them.
Susan is our last one for today. She got cut off the last time. Is back on the line. Susan, you're our final one today for Mike Chiannopoulos. You got about a minute and a half here.
Okay. So our lease was up April 30th. We moved out on the 16th. We vacated the home. We dropped off the keys, the gate fobs, etc. Called about, emailed on the 19th, asked when we should receive our security deposit. Huh. The realtor stated the clock wouldn't start until the 30th. I was reading that they actually had 15 days to let us know if we're going to get our security deposit back. Is that true, or does the clock start on the 30th, or when we vacated the home on the 16th?
No, it'll start on the 30th, is my opinion, but they have 30 days to return your deposit.
Okay, 30 days.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They have 30 days to return your deposit.
From the end of the lease.
From the end of the lease.
Right.
Got it?
Okay.
You vacated
right,
early,
you.
But you paid rent for that whole month, so.
Right, we did, and yeah. We vacated the home right. early yeah. on the 16th, and we gave them all the stuff on the 16th and right. let them know that we were out of the home.
Still going to run from the 30th. That's when your rent ended, and they're going to want to take as long as they can because they're probably doing stuff they shouldn't be, like putting that in an interest bank yeah. account mm-hmm. and keeping the money, which they're not supposed to do.
No.
I'm sure
that would be against the law.
I'm sure no landlords do that.
You are so easy to get a hold of. 24/7.
I am very easy, Stan.
Yeah, well, I don't know that personally. But...
like Sunday morning, Stan.
239 Ask Mike. Easy number to remember. 239 is our area code. Ask Mike. If it's outside of normal business hours, you just press 6. It comes straight to me. I answer it if I'm asleep in the middle of the night and you have an emergency. I answer it if I'm in yep. the Gulf of Mexico. I answer it if I'm out of the country. I just answer it. 239 Ask Mike. Press 6. It comes to me.
Every Tuesday here on the Stan and Haney Show. Mike Chiannopoulos, 239 Ask Mike.
What do you think the odds are Justice Kennedy retires?
Not as long as Trump's in office.
Mike, thank you.
Unless he dies in office.
Well, he's only 81.
We'll be back. Stan and Haney.
Sweet heaven. The Beasleys actually pay these two for this shit?
Oh, yeah.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, gang. Stan and Haney here. Tuesday afternoon, you still have about 3.5 minutes or so to get the safe word in for 4 o'clock. That being the word tired. Tired. T-I-R-E-D. Tired.
As in, Stan is tired of hearing about all of the nonsense in the world.
Yep. Text it to 40772. Or enter it on 96krock.com. If it's you, they'll call you back. $1,000. Tired. Tired. let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home. First look at traffic this afternoon.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, we'll start in Fort Myers. Crash, Pine Ridge Road in Gladiolus. And then we got a couple showing up in Lehigh Acres. Got a crash, Yvonne Avenue South and 23rd Street Southwest. And then we have another one, Lehigh Acres, Gunnery Road and 5th Street West. And you are up to date. Another traffic update for you in about 30 minutes. Coming up in less than 1 hour, the newscast of record. With Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. He is the news. What can you expect? Well, he's about to tell you right now. He's got today's headlines.
Yes, sir. Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you did not know.
Okay.
Including something about the Beatles I'd never heard before. You probably had, though.
All right.
Science.
Science!
They've been working for a long time, and they finally done it.
What? What'd they do? I knew it was going to happen. Told you. What'd they do?
They've come up with an injection that will cause you to lose weight without doing anything as far as diet or exercise.
Mainline me. Mainline me.
Why? You're not chunky, are you?
Oh, I'm at a good weight right now. High end. Let's put it this way. I've told
because I see you every day, you have to tell me when you get fat because I don't notice.
I got a set of skinny clothes, skinny stand clothes,
mm-hmm.
medium, large. Right now, I'm in the large.
Really?
Yes.
You're getting all fat and sassy.
Yeah, fat and sassy.
Have you ever had any interaction with the Airbnb?
The Air Bed and Breakfast?
Yeah, the app, the website where you go and instead of booking a hotel room, you book from a private owner.
Oh, I've seen about those things. I have not done that. I've looked into it. I have not done it.
Well, they say staying at an Airbnb could be far more dangerous than you think.
Oh, I could imagine.
Well, it's happened again.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Prison inmates busted running an illegal diamond mine underneath the jail.
Diamond mine.
Yep. Boy, if I had a nickel, every time I hear that story.
That old chestnut.
A man who looks like Santa Claus kept sneaking into a neighbor's home and leaving her sexy underpants as gifts.
That's nice.
And finally, it's happened again.
Told ya.
A man is arrested for drunkenly mowing a stranger's lawn. These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thanks.
Hey, speaking of mowing lawns, I saw a product that is going to be a game changer.
What, you spray it on your lawn and it mows itself?
No. It's it's like a four-wheeled box. And you control it, like, with a joystick, remote-controlled.
Yeah.
It can turn any direction. So it's like using a video game controller to mow your lawn.
I'm in.
And this thing is awesome. It can go up hills and everything. I'll have to show you the video. Right. You'll be impressed.
Let's
see, that's the kind of stuff they need to be working on.
Of course. 4 o'clock fluffer time. Mark.
Stan.
Everyone.
D-Train.
Haney.
Honey, I'm home.
Woo!
It's National Hospital Week.
Oh, woo! I didn't know that. You know what? You never know when you might have to go to a hospital, and then that becomes your hospital week. You don't have to have a special day for it. I can have a slip and fall on the way home today, and I'm in the hospital. That's my week. They got walk-in clinic week, too?
I don't know. There's a week or a day for everything.
Yeah, of course there is.
And it's really just an excuse for some bad jokes.
Yep.
With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
signs you're in a bad hospital.
Top signs you're in a bad hospital. We've seen them.
The only experience the nurses have is playing nurses in vivid video pornography.
Love it.
It's what they call a teaching hospital, so medical students can see what not to do.
Right.
I know nothing. Nothing.
The doctor just told you cancer is a choice.
Oh, my God.
Huh? The guy being repeatedly paged the most on the speaker system is the coroner.
Hey, are you listening to me? Hey, me!
The nurse inadvertently hooked your IV up to a full colostomy bag. Oh. Hey, could happen to anybody.
Sure. Pardon.
As you're ushered into the colonoscopy room, you can't help but notice it has a garden hose. Their ambulance is an old PT Cruiser with a case of Band-Aids in the back.
There he is.
I am Captain Chaos.
The nurses run an after-hours amputee fight club.
That'd be awesome.
Son of a...
Right as the anesthesia kicks in, one nurse pulls down your pants as another grabs a Polaroid land camera.
I don't know, I'm too drunk.
Obviously, you can't afford a private room, but they stuck you with a roommate who brought his emotional support rooster. And finally, the very top sign, you're in a bad hospital.
Yes.
All the doctors are American.
I'm having chest pain.
Elvis has left the building.
That's the poor. What about
that? That's it, baby.
That little Iranian doctor you like.
Yeah,
this,
doctor. What's his name?
Yeah,
no, Zardan. Oh, and you haven't been sticking to the diet. I told you 1,200 calories a day, three times a day.
I'm sorry, doctor. I like my chocolates.
I'm sorry that I got fat.
I'm hungry. I'm so hungry.
That's what they do on that show.
Stan's been watching the show My 600-Pound Life, and the way he explained it to me is a 700-pound woman from Seattle had multiple times trying to get to Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And when she finally got to Houston, the doctor told her to go on a diet and call him back.
Yeah, well, she has to get an apartment there. See, the thing is...
But why couldn't he have just told her over the phone, go on a diet and then come down?
She had on Skype.
When she had the first panic attack on the plane and had to get off the Boeing 747, he did Skype with her. Do you want to be my patient? Then stop it until you had a panic attack. Nothing's going to happen. Come to Houston. And then she took her cat and her and got an apartment in Houston. And then they weigh her. This fat bitch couldn't even get up on a cow scale.
So they're going to make a 600-pound woman move to the barbecue capital of the world?
Look, that, she ain't eating no barbecue.
Yeah. And besides, they ain't going near Memphis.
And they weigh her. And then he tells her, you got to diet for a month and come back and see me. And then she gained 16 pounds when she should have lost 50.
You know, you've made this so compelling. I'm almost thinking that tomorrow at 4:30, maybe we could listen in on the doctor speaking to a patient.
I'll get you a little, I'll make a few phone calls.
I think we could make that happen, couldn't we?
I think so.
I'm so hungry.
This is from Corrine, who writes...
Chlorine?
Corrine.
Oh, I thought you said
not
chlorine.
Chlorine. Corrine.
Hey, Chlorine.
Ahoy, gentlemen. I just have a nice story for you about a thrill ride. I was on the Tower of Terror at Disney some years back. Waited in line forever as this storm was coming through. I finally got on the ride when we did the first drop and the doors opened rapidly to look out. Just at that moment, lightning hit the building or something very nearby. The electricity went out in the ride. The doors stayed open and we were stuck in a gigantic metal cage watching lightning bolts crashing down in front of us. It seemed like an eternity for the generators to take over and shut those damn doors. Talk about Tower of Terror. I never forgot it. I'm still trying to get on the air and beat Haney and Are You Smarter Than Haney. I just get that fast, busy signal every time I try to call.
Me.
She got her money's worth.
It's from Corrine. This is from Ron on Marco Island. Ahoy, Stan, Haney, and company. I listened to last week to an email from a so-called longtime listener named Ron in Grand Rapids. He addressed a problem that caused him to tune out on Fridays. The root of this problem is Dave the Waterman. More specifically, it is the pain of listening to Stan deal with Dave the Waterman's issues. To some point, I agree with Ron. However, I am writing to voice a different perspective on Dave the Waterman.
I'm here to stay, brother.
If you look on the bright side, listeners only suffer on Fridays. In the past, Dave was on the show a lot. We no longer suffer the Waterman's 5 days of malaise. One other point that needs to be made is, Dave, you can do better if you tried harder. Just follow Stan's example. Create a character that does not blow up when Stan gets under your skin.
I'm not stable.
Give him a name opposite your personality. Maybe Kenny. So you can detach yourself from your feelings. Listeners will thank you for not shouting into the microphone anymore and blowing out our speakers. You can do it, Dave. You may not get along with Stan, but you do get the support you need from your Uncle Haney. Good luck. Signed, Ron from Marco Island.
Oh, bro, by the way,
I am now 40 and successful.
I forgot to tell you, D-Train threw you under the bus last Friday.
Not surprising. How did he throw me under the bus?
Well, we're outside with Dave.
Yeah.
And you had said on the show that something about D-Train going, yeah, I hope Dave doesn't show up.
Yeah.
Which I said.
Which you did said.
But you know what he said to Dave?
What?
He goes, that's not what I said. What I said was, I hope that Stan doesn't yell at Dave all day today.
No, I said, I hope Dave doesn't show up on the show because I don't want to have to hear Stan yelling at Dave all day.
Well, then What's he the should difference? Snap out of it. What's the difference?
What did I say wrong?
I think he threw me under the bus.
Is that what he said to you?
What? No, that's not what he said to me.
Well, what did you say?
Exactly what I just said.
Can you repeat it?
Stan said, have you heard from Dave? I said, I don't know. I hope he doesn't show up today because I don't feel like hearing you yell at him all day.
Is that what you heard?
No, that's not what
I
heard.
What did you hear?
I hope he doesn't show up too, and I agreed with him.
Selective hearing.
The Guardian.
Jesus.
Ahoy, gentlemen. Guys, really enjoyed the Wayback Machine yesterday. It brought back some nice memories as a grown adult. Thanks. Now, who picks the music when you take your breaks? I suspect it's Haney. No, it's Stan. But whoever it is, thank you. How about playing... by the way, Haney, how about playing some Etta James one day? Now, just what the hell is Carrie trying to do? He's no longer employed by We the People and clearly is in violation of the Logan Act. Maybe you guys can give us a little insight into why he is meddling in things that he's no longer involved in. It's called his legacy.
And it's very funny how selective people are about the Logan Act. When they wanted Mike Flynn's scalp, it was, he violated the Logan Act,
yeah.
Which he didn't. But now that Carrie clearly is...
That's an ancient law.
No,
nobody's enforced that.
No.
That was made in the 1800s.
Just such hypocrisy.
We're going to take a break when we come back.
And what Carrie is doing...
is a crime.
It should be. He's working against the President of the United States.
That's a crime. That's treasonous. We're going to play Stan's Name That Movie. Today, movies, prison movies.
You know, wouldn't we all be better off if Carrie just moved to France? Like, you know he really wants to.
That's where he wants. Doesn't he have a place there? Take that boat that you bought and go.
Yeah. Get your horse face out there, kite boarding or whatever it is you do. Yeah. You can't ride a bike.
When life gives you lemons, crush them up and twist them back in life's eyes. Trust me, it burns. Oh, yes, it burns. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us. It is greatly appreciated. Without you, we wouldn't be here. Mark Haney in the news in about 30 minutes. Going to check some traffic, and then we'll play Stan's Name That Movie. Today, movie's about prison life. Life.
On the inside.
Yeah, in the big house. Gray Bar Motel.
Three hots and a cot.
Yeah. Let's get traffic done first, then we'll give you a chance to win. We'll go over the prizes and play some movies.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, we'll start North Fort Myers. Crash, Pondella Road, North Cleveland Avenue. Fort Myers. Crash, Pine Ridge Road and Gladiolus Drive. And one in Lehigh Acres. Crash, Yvonne Avenue South and 23rd Street Southwest. And you are up to date. Another traffic update right before Mark Haney and the news. Stan's Name That Movie.
Hollywood Hotel. Good evening. Just a moment, I'll connect you.
Five movie clips. Be the first person to identify the film, and you'll get yourself a prize. Here are the prizes. Free standard oil change from Naples Nissan. Doesn't matter what kind of car you got. It doesn't have to be a Nissan. Just go in there. We'll give you the certificate. Get yourself an oil change.
Simple as that.
Yep. Round of golf from Palmetto Pines Country Club. Maybe you'd like an HD tuner for your car. You got an analog radio, don't have HD radio, you hook this baby up to your existing radio, it suddenly becomes digital. And you get HD quality in substations. We've got a pair of tickets to a miracle game, your choice. Stan bobblehead autographed by Haney, I refuse to touch it. And $20 to Bernie's City Diner in Naples. Those are the prizes. Your job is to identify the film. Prison. D-Train, will you do me the favor and lock down the phones? People are calling and they haven't even heard the movie yet.
Yep. Lock those phones down. Like a maximum security prison.
Yep. Yeah, kind of like that. This first one is, when I was in college, I remember this movie had come out, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I hope it's what I think it is.
You guys need to name this movie. First one to do it will win a prize. Here's movie clip number one, Prison Life.
Will the defendants rise? Considering all the facts and arguments presented by both counsel, and after careful deliberation, I find the defendants guilty as charged. Do you wish to waive the right to a pre-sentence hearing?
No. Yes, Your Honor.
Taking into account the severe and ruthless nature of this crime and the bleak prospects for your rehabilitation, I hereby sentence you to serve 125 years in the custody of the Commissioner of the Department of Corrections.
What? Wait, no, wait. No, sit. You know, we didn't do it. There's a misunderstanding.
That's right.
We didn't do it.
We didn't.
I didn't. Our lawyer told us to come up. He's joking. He means we didn't do it.
See,
we didn't do it.
Have you got the right case?
This is Monroe and Donahue.
Harry Monroe. Harry Monroe. Look under there. In black. Tall.
Sir,
black
we did.
Black man.
How much does that mean in actual time?
30 years, tops.
I'm going to be a dead old man. I don't want to do 125 years. I don't want to do one. I don't even want to do 100. I can't. I'll kill this motherfucker. What?
Name the movie. Loved it.
Wasn't that the documentary they did about the time we were in trouble?
Yes. 277-9600. Phone lines are released. If you can name that movie, you're going to get yourself a prize. Name that movie. Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, this is Ryan from Cape Coral.
Ryan from Cape Coral, can you name that movie?
See no evil, hear no evil.
Nope. No. No. Ahoy, who's this?
Matt.
Matt, can you name it?
Hear no evil, see no evil.
No. No, sir.
People are dialed in on that.
Yeah, but that's not the movie. Ahoy, who's this?
Nope.
Turn your radio down. Don't make me snap at you. I'm sorry. can you, what's your first name?
No.
Okay. No. I'm sorry. I asked you to turn it down. I was polite.
You didn't snap.
No, I was polite. Still didn't listen. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, Stan. It's Lisa.
Lisa, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. Doing well.
Stan.
Yeah.
Did you happen to see the most beautiful girl in the world?
Aw, you guys are so sweet.
That's our old friend Lisa Bitch.
Yeah, Lisa, can you name the movie?
I can. It's Stir Crazy.
It is Stir Crazy.
Well done.
Nice job, Gene Wilder, Richard Pryor.
Yes, it was hilarious.
It was great.
I love it.
That's right, we bad.
I'm going to have to watch it again now.
What would you like?
I really don't want anything. I just...
Oh, you didn't. You didn't. You cost somebody a prize.
But it's so nice to hear from her.
What do you got?
You know what? You can call us on a regular time during the open phones and chat.
I can never get through when D-Train times up.
Let us give you something nice.
Okay, what do you got?
You want to eat at Bernie's City Diner?
No, I eat there often, so I'd rather...
You'd rather pay? Okay.
Yeah.
I have a Stan bobblehead.
I'll take the Stan bobblehead.
You got it. And guess what? Haney's going to autograph it for you.
Oh, awesome. Even better.
All right. Hold on, Lisa. Hold on. Nice lady.
She has been with us forever.
From the very beginning. From the beginning.
Remember her in that bikini. Wah, 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 wee, wah.
Yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Movie clip number two. This is about prisons. Name... This movie win a prize.
Did you murder Clarence Darby?
I wanted him dead. He killed my wife and child.
Rupert Ames, did you murder him as well?
Rupert Ames deserved to die. They both deserved to die.
So you arranged both of those murders?
Yes, I planned it. In my head, over and over again. It took me a long time.
All right. I guess we're done here.
Counselor. You might want to cancel your 12:30 lunch with Judge Roberts.
Excuse me?
In fact, you might want to cancel the rest of the week because you're going to be busy. Sit down.
We're done here. We have your confession.
Oh, you do?
On tape. See, in our profession, we consider that a slam dunk.
Oh, really? I don't think so. Let's think back. What did I say? That I wanted to kill Clarence Darby? Yeah, sure. What father wouldn't? Did both Darby and Ames deserve to die? I think most people would agree with that. That I planned it over and over again in my head? Yeah. Who wouldn't fantasize about that? None of these are an admission of guilt, Nick. You might want to check the tape.
277.
Smooth.
277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, gentlemen, this is Rick. How are you?
Good, Rick. Can you name the movie?
I believe it's law-abiding citizen.
It most certainly is. Jamie Foxx, well, I don't want to spoil it for anybody that hasn't seen it, but it's a real twist at the end. what would you like?
If I tell you what, Bernie City Diner would be great.
You got it, buddy. Hold on. Yeah, law-abiding citizen. I'll tell you, that one threw me for a loop when I watched it.
Like an M. Night Shyamalama Ding Dong movie?
What a twist. Movie clip number 3. Today it's prison life.
Life on the inside.
Behind the bars. On the rock. Name this movie. Win a prize.
I'm pissed off. I'm pissed off at them kids for being parked out in the woods that night. Pissed off at their parents coming to see me die. Pissed off myself for letting Mattel get over on them kids. But I got my last words coming. I got a thing or two to say to Percy's in the Delacours.
You want your last words to be words of hatred?
Hey, Clyde Percy said he wants to inject me himself.
Well, think of how angry he must be. He's never going to see his daughter again. He's never going to hold her. He's never going to love or laugh with her. You have robbed these parents of so much, Matt. They have nothing in their lives but sorrow, no joy. That is what you have given them. What possessed you to be in the woods that night?
I told you, I was thrown out of my head.
Now, don't blame the drugs. You were harassing couples for weeks before this happened, months. What was it?
What do you mean?
Did you look up to Patello? Did you think he was cool? Did you want to impress him?
I don't know.
You could have just walked away.
Hey, he went psycho on me.
Don't blame him. You blame him. You blame the government. You blame drugs. You blame blacks. You blame the Percys. You blame the kids for being there. What about Matthew Ponsolet? Where's he in this story? What, is he just an innocent? A victim?
I ain't no victim.
2779600. Your job is to name that movie, and then you win a prize. Ahoy, who's this?
Katie.
Katie? Hi, Katie. Yes. Katie, where are you from? Hi. Katie, where are you from, Katie?
Fort Myers.
All right. Regular listener of the Stan and Haney Show?
Yeah.
All right. Can you name the movie?
Was it Dead Man Walking?
It is Dead Man Walking.
Dead Man Walking.
Yay. Dead Man Walking.
Yay.
That's Piccoli. What would you like?
What do you have left?
What?
What do you have left?
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Okay. I've got a free oil change from Naples Nissan. I've got a round of golf at Palmetto Pines Country Club. I've got an HD tuner for your car to turn your car into an HD stereo. I've got miracle tickets. I've got a Stan bobblehead. I have $20 to Bernie City Diner in Naples.
Bernie City Diner.
All right, baby. You got it. And thank you for listening to the show, okay?
Thank you. You're awesome.
You're welcome.
Good job, Katie.
Yeah, a little laryngitis there, but she got through.
I wonder if she's been around D-Train.
Yep. Movie clip number 4. Prison movies. This is a pretty easy one, but I picked an obscure clip, which might make people second guess. Name this movie.
So, one night, like a joke, I say to him, I say, yeah, Elmo, who'd you kill? So he says,
I got me this job one time, bussing tables at a country club. So I could case all these big, rich that come in. So I pick out this guy, go in one night and do his place. He wakes up, gives me. So I killed him. Him and this tasty bitch he was with. And that's the best part. She's f***ing this pussy, this golf pro, but she's married to some other guy. Some hotshot banker. And he's the one they pinned it on.
I have to say, that's the most amazing story I ever heard.
Name the movie. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Bill.
Bill, am I on some kind of speakerphone or Bluetooth?
Bluetooth.
All right, I don't want you to get into an accident. Can you name the movie?
Yes, The Shawshank Redemption.
You are absolutely correct. Nice job. What would you like?
Stan Bobblehead?
Yep, you got it. Hold on. All right, let's do one more real quick. This is the easiest, but man, what a heavy scene. If you just call in, you should be able to get this if you're the first one. Name the movie.
Tell me what you want me to do. You want me to take you out of here? Just let you run away? See how far you could get?
Why would you do such a foolish thing?
On the day of my judgment, when I stand before God and he asks me why did I kill one of his true miracles, what am I going to say? That it was my job. It was my job.
You tell God the Father it was a kindness you done. I know you're hurting in word. I can feel it on you. But you ought to quit on it now. I want it to be over and done with. I do. I'm tired, boss. Tired of being on the road, lonely as a sparrow in the rain. I'm tired of never having me a buddy to be with. Tell me where we's going to, coming from, or why. Mostly I'm tired of people being ugly to each other. I'm tired of all the pain I feel and hear in the world every day. There's too much of it. It's like pieces of glass in my head all the time. Can you understand?
Yes, John, I think I can.
Name it. Name the movie. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, it's Joel.
Joel, name it.
Green Mile.
The Green Mile, you betcha. What would you like?
I'll think of baseball tickets. It'd be great.
Well, you betcha. You got a couple of tickets to the Miracle Game. Your choice. Hold on. There we go. Haney, if you would be kind enough to outro me.
Well, I be pleased as punch to do that.
Thank you, buddy.
And that concludes Stan's tribute to prison movies, although obviously he'll have to do it again because he didn't even include Brubaker. From Radio City.
I wanted to. Try finding a clip. Try finding a clip. Evidently, that's sealed.
And many others. How do I look? From Radio City in Estero, this is Mark Haney speaking.
We're just like most of you. Financially devastated ex-husbands, unrepentantly proud fathers, and underappreciated employees. Stan and Haney in the afternoon on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney here. Mark Haney in the news coming up here in just a second. Roger Marley will be in at 6 o'clock. He'll have another safe word for you, chance for a thou. And Mother's Day. Mother's Day is this weekend. And 96 K-Rock looking for one bad mother. I don't even feel right saying it.
I haven't heard you that uncomfortable since you had to back sell the AC/DC song.
Let me put my love into you.
These are things Stan just doesn't sound right.
It doesn't
saying.
Flow off the lips.
No.
Register to win gift cards from Edible Arrangements, Say It With Flowers, $100 to Shula's Steakhouse. What a great way for mom to enjoy herself. Sign up now at 96krock.com. The promotion is called One Bad Mother.
That's what it's called. Yeah.
Did I do all right?
Yeah, you did great.
One bad mother. Just keep it to a minimum. It's for Mother's Day and all the good stuff. And 96krock.com.
And gotcha. I'll
leave the mother.
Check.
Let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home.
Well executed,
thank
Stan.
Thank you. You know, they asked me to throw these in every once in a while. Mm-hmm. You know, get with the station.
Yep. Well, you got to get behind it. Yeah.
But they asked me to say that, and it doesn't sound right coming out of my mouth.
Nah.
I wouldn't say that.
No. Nope.
But it's for Mother's Day. The one bad mother.
You know, people have built careers off pretending to be something they're not.
That's true. I can't.
No.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
From our road watcher, one of them, try to stay away from veterans in the midpoint bridge right now. Horribly backed up. But that goes without saying. It's everybody trying to get back on the Cape from the rich part of town where they work. North Fort Myers got a crash. Shelby Lane and Slater Road. And this is in the park. Crash, Oriole Road, and Aloha Road. And you are up to date. Do one more traffic update for you in about 30 minutes.
Speaking of Aloha, how are things going in Hawaii?
A lot of lava. They showed the crater. They don't know when it's going to stop.
I told you off the air yesterday, I just happened upon an old clip from one of Carlin's comedy specials.
Yeah.
And he was going on and on about, the phony global warming and all that. And he goes, people don't get it. The planet's fine. The planet will fight back. He goes, what do you expect? You know, you got these people in Hawaii, and they build houses right by Mount Kilauea, by name.
Yep.
As the lava's flowing.
Like a decade earlier.
Yep. Carlin knew. He knew everything.
Well, you set me straight. I said, man, this lava coming out of the damn volcano. And you said to me, how do you think they made that island?
Yeah. Without volcanoes, there wouldn't be Hawaii.
Yep. Mark Haney.
Thank God Shark Girl got out in time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, thank God. I'm in a mood right now, and I just got to nip it.
You know why they why they all live by the volcano?
Because it's warm in the winter?
Mm-mm.
Why?
Well, for some reason, the closer you get to the volcano, the more affordable the property gets.
You don't say. Jason and Todd from the Diamond District.
I'm not joking.
I know you're not. Bringing us news. It's true.
This is Nightly News. With Tom Brokaw in New York, Roger Mudd in Washington, and commentary by John Chancellor.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Tuesday, May 8th.
Double M, XV, triple I.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Stan, you are the biggest Beatles maniac I know.
Yeah, I like following up on that stuff and learning about it.
Did you know that everybody knows, of course, the Beatles' music?
Yep.
But they also put out a bunch of movies.
Yep. They were under contract. They had to put out so many movies. That's why Let It Be came out. They had to do a movie. And, just show us filming our rehearsals. To meet their obligation.
Because
they were already breaking up.
May as well then.
Yep.
The Beatles were once in talks to star in Lord of the Rings.
I didn't know that.
Paul would play Frodo.
Come on.
Ringo would play Sam. George would play Gandalf. And John Lennon as Gollum.
For real?
For real. It went far enough that they approached Stanley Kubrick to direct the film.
He would have done a good job.
Who knows what that could have turned into.
No kidding.
It could have been great. It could have been horrible. I don't see any in between. Why didn't this happen?
Why?
J.R.R. Tolkien said, no effing way are you doing that with my material.
Smart move on his part.
Indeed. Kubrick, one of the greatest. Another very successful director, John Hughes.
Yup.
He came up with the idea for Ferris Bueller's Day Off on February 25th of 1985. That's when he had the idea.
That's pretty close when the movie came out, wasn't it? Wasn't it in the mid-80s?
Yeah. He pitched the movie and sold it on February 26th.
There you go.
He had the finished screenplay ready by March 3rd. So Ferris Bueller's Day Off went from not existing to being pitched the next day and finished by March 3rd.
It's pretty amazing.
It is. You know, if it was a bad movie, you wouldn't be surprised.
Yep.
But that was a good one.
Yep, and we still talk about it today, so it was good and it was amazing.
Mm-hmm. You know your Eastern European countries pretty well, don't you?
I don't know.
You know Slovenia?
Yeah.
You know Slovakia?
Yeah.
You know the difference between the two?
Not much.
Well, they have a problem there. Their names are similar enough that representatives from both countries meet once a month. It's an ongoing thing. And this meeting is for one purpose only. It's where they exchange all the mail mistakenly sent to the wrong country.
You know what? If you write down the wrong country, it's on you.
Come on. But there might be important stuff in there. I mean, you know, hey, Slovenia, you probably want this. It says here you could already be a winner and that you are one of five finalists in the Slovenia area.
Hey, look, I don't know if they do it in school anymore. But they used to teach when I was in elementary school how to write on an envelope.
How to write on an envelope?
Weren't you taught that in school?
Oh, you mean to address it properly?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant like, you know, messing around.
A teacher came in and handed you everybody an envelope.
Mm-hmm.
And here's how you write the, had to learn how to put the CO in care of,
mm-hmm.
why you had a return address up in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
That was a little hint to the postman in case they couldn't deliver it, where to send it
yep.
back to. They taught you how to do all that.
Yeah, I remember it well. President Richard Milhouse Nixon, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Department stores are having a rough time of it. Because the world has changed.
Oh, yeah. Well, your Sears and
mm-hmm.
your Kmarts.
Department stores go back a long, long way. And one of their big money makers in your department store is perfumes.
Oh, yeah. A perfume counter.
Perfumes were originally put near the door at department stores for a very specific reason.
To draw the customers in.
Well, at that time, it was originally to cover the smell of horse manure, and then they realized it worked just as well to mask the car exhaust from the streets.
Okay. Think about this right now, and I'm thinking of one mall in particular. If you go, you know how you can go in the main entrance of the mall, or you can enter through the department stores?
Mm-hmm.
even to this day, you go through one of the department store entrances at the mall, perfume counter, right there.
How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Horse manure.
Yeah. Go figure.
Horse hockey.
Yep. Yeah.
In a moment.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill.
Jeez.
What's wrong?
Somebody is calling, and I'm looking at the lines. This better be important. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, this is Steve. How's it going?
Hey, Steve, what can we do for you? We're in the middle of a newscast, and you keep calling us. What do you need?
Well, I wanted to tell you about the Hawaiian situation.
Yeah, this is Steve now bringing us up to date on Hawaii.
Hawaii.
Yeah. Oh. If you have a house in Hawaii and it got damaged by the volcano, you don't have to worry about having volcano insurance. Your fire insurance will cover it, according to the governor.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Good to know.
That's good.
I was worried about my home in Hawaii.
Yeah. Feel like we got a home in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Ever since I bought Prince's estate in the Caribbean, I've been thinking about maybe unloading the Hawaiian property, but we got to wait this volcano out.
Yeah, I don't have Hawaiian property. Stupid me. Listen to Eric Estrada, and I bought lots in Lehigh Acres close to the beach.
Well, I was chatting with Michael Cohen about how to, you know, own like hundreds of houses.
Right.
Boy, we suck.
Yeah.
We're just horrible.
Yeah.
You know that?
Yeah.
Earlier today, we were discussing several things with my good friend Stan here.
Hi.
He enjoys watching a television program called My 600-Pound Life.
You gotta watch it. It's on demand. And they run it like six times a day.
And he's fascinated by that. And he's also realized that he is on the cusp of, moving into another level of wardrobe he doesn't want to go to. He believes he's put on some weight.
A bit of a weight gain. Just a touch.
Now, how many pounds would you like to lose, ideally?
You mean if I wanted to lose right now?
Yeah. What would make you happy?
Well, get back maybe to my college weight.
So how many pounds is that?
Let's put it this way. Let's say a nifty 50.
50 pounds?
I'd like to lose 50 pounds.
You don't have 50 pounds to lose.
That's what everybody says, but that's what I am, according to every chart. And you know what? Even when I go to, like, the Publix pharmacy and you sit in that chair and have them do the once-over on you,
yeah,
everything's in the red.
Well, I guess I have then mildly good news for you. You know, in the pharmaceutical industry, you got your boner pills, things that'll regrow hair, and the mythical white whale of the pharmaceutical industry, the fat pill.
Yeah. Is there a fat pill now?
An injection.
I'm in. If they're still doing clinical studies, give me a call.
Scientists at Imperial College in London have developed a groundbreaking injection that will cause people to lose up to 14 pounds in less than a month.
14 pounds in less than a month?
It is based on hormones that simply make you not hungry.
Yeah, but some people like myself do it out of habit.
They're standing by this. They say it's legit.
Amazing.
It is going through the trials and the testing. And when that is finally available, well, they're just going to have to back up the Brinks truck for whoever came up with
Hell
that.
Oh, yeah. On that, my 600-pound life,
yeah.
Dr. Narzardan.
You're fascinated with this, doctor.
Yeah, you're a little elfin man. He wanted to get an X-ray of this fat woman to see if, because he was going to give her a balloon to eat, and they inflate it to make her stomach feel full. And so he said, we're going to go have to take you for x-ray. We're going to take you for x-ray. I need to see the balloon go down and that it's not caught in your esophagus. They had to call the whole thing off. The x-ray machine wouldn't penetrate her fat. They couldn't see her stomach.
Wonder if that would stop ballistics, you know.
I don't know.
Kinetic like a, projectiles. Yeah,
yeah. Like a ballistics gel.
Yep. I'm sorry about this, folks. It just seems like I do the same story here every day. And yeah, it's happened again. Inmates busted running an illegal diamond mine underneath the prison.
Yeah, you know, it always happens.
In the Democratic Republic of the Congo, for those of you that don't know where or what that is, that's what our president refers to as an asshole country.
Yes.
Authorities found that a bunch of inmates have been secretly running an illegal diamond mine underneath the prison. When they raided the prison last week, they found 30 inmates and a guard working at the mine. And it turns out that of those inmates were prisoners whose sentences had ended long ago, but the diamond mine was so lucrative, they just stayed in prison.
Yep, and in the Congo, they don't know.
The government is planning to shut it down, and they say anyone who works there will be severely punished. That must mean they'll be sent to a less lucrative prison.
Yeah. You know, they'll shut it down and they'll open it up themselves and get the diamonds.
Of course.
Yeah. The ice.
That's a caper.
Yeah, man. That's something. That's a movie right there.
Yeah.
Prison diamond mine.
How about this? Shawshank 2.
Yeah. The diamond mine. Ice.
The 59-year-old Isidro Sanchez.
Okay.
Lives in a trailer park outside Panama City.
All right. Oh, that's the redneck Riviera.
He is a jolly fat man with white hair and a big beard. Known around the neighborhood as Santa Claw. He was arrested, Santa was, for repeatedly breaking into his female neighbor's home and leaving her gifts. You'd think, hey, that's what Santa does. What's the problem?
Yeah.
Well, it was the choice of gifts that was the problem. He'd break into her house and leave sexy underpants behind.
For her to wear or things that he wore in his private life?
For her to wear.
Oh, so he'd stop at Vicky's Secrets and leave her a little something.
He left them in her car, on her porch, on her bed. And he did it several times a day for 3 months without ever being caught. He also left notes to let her know that Santa was watching her.
Oh, that's, there's the creepy. Well, it's all creepy. That just adds to the creep.
The woman's boyfriend eventually caught him in the kitchen last April and called the authorities. The authorities investigated, and they found 3 large bags in his trailer with a total of 90 pounds of women's underwear in it.
What the...
Now, nobody knows if he stole them or bought them, just 90 pounds of underpant. A jury convicted him last Friday on 3 counts of burglary, 1 count of aggravated stalking. Santa will be sentenced this week and is looking at up to 40 years in prison.
Yeah, Santa's watching. Santa's watching.
He sees you when you're blanking.
Yep.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, police in Franklin, Indiana, received a disturbing call Saturday regarding a 46-year-old man named Barry Ridge who was mowing a stranger's lawn without permission.
Let him go ahead. Go, do it.
Evidently, Mrs. Kravitz looked out the window, saw Barry riding his mower on the grass, and called the police. By the time they'd got there, Barry had finished the job, left that house, and was driving his mower down the street. When they tracked Barry down, they gave him a breathalyzer, and surprise, surprise, he registered double the legal limit. He was arrested for operating a vehicle while intoxicated.
It doesn't matter what it is.
It turns out, sadly, this is not the first time. He was arrested for the same thing last month, and he's still awaiting trial from his first mower-related incident.
Let the guy mow a lawn.
What's he hurting?
I'm going to tell you, and I it happened a while ago. I think I've said it one time.
Why would you call the police on somebody that?
House in the park, you have creepos, pervs, living all around you. You don't know it, but they're living all around you. Your sex registered sex offenders.
But you knew it.
Well, word got out on the street in the park that a guy who was on the list was on the street, on our street. Didn't know what it was or who it was. Guy's mowing our lawn. Neighbor. Finished my yard. Figured I'd take care of your yard over here. This is after I've moved out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Got a small daughter living there at the time. I just thought, I saw it looked like he'd use some mowing. I had the mower out anyway. And my ex-wife said, well, thank you very much. Appreciate that, but you don't have to do that. Next week, he's out mowing one again. Come on. It's no problem with me. I'll be glad to do it. He was the offender. And the whole neighborhood got with pitchforks and torches.
And he was never heard from again.
That's what I understand. But you don't know. You don't know.
Took him out to visit Amos Moses?
Yep.
You probably shouldn't talk about that on the air.
Why?
Well, because, he disappeared.
Well, don't worry about that. They can't figure that out.
Oh, all right. Say no more then.
They're fine.
And that's the news for today, Tuesday, May 8th.
Double M XV Triple I.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
Mark, thank you. News this afternoon brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. We're Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
We are the tip of the Beasley Broadcasting spear. Mm. That's it. Yeah. The Spear. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for spending your afternoon with us. Greatly appreciated. Roger Marley coming in at 6 o'clock. Take you through your evening. He will have another safe word for you at 6 o'clock. So it could get you $1,000. So stay by your radio. Let's get one more look at traffic for your drive home this afternoon.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Okay, a couple of things on the board. The first one is in North Fort Myers, crash, Tropic Terrace, and Pangola Drive. And then in Bonita Springs, crash with injuries, Oakland Drive and Bonita Beach Road Southeast. And you are up to date.
Woman named show. Yabba dabba, yabba dabba dabba do now. Yabba dabba, yabba dabba dabba do now. Yabba dabba, yabba dabba dabba do now. I get by on all my grills, don't know how. Betty and the Bernie got a baby named Bam Bam. Little Pebbles is his number one fan. He's the strongest toddler in the whole land. Tear your arm off if he's shaking your hand. Got a car, gonna push it with my feet now. Gonna take my family out to eat now. Jumbo ribs at the driving cabin. We're a loincloth, natural fiber. Be the first Rolling Stone subscriber. Got a pterodactyl for a windshield wiper. Yabba dabba, yabba dabba dabba do now. Yabba dabba, yabba dabba dabba do now. Yabba dabba, yabba dabba dabba do now. Don't know what it means, but I'll say it anyhow.
Wilma, I'm home. Stop serving dinner and don't spare the spare ribs. No,
take it easy, boy. Like me working down in the gravel. Where's Wilma? Anybody seen her? Got a baby elephant vacuum cleaner. Yabba dabba, yabba dabba dabba do now. 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 Yabba dabba do now. Yabba dabba do now. Yabba dabba do now. Yabba dabba do now.
Oh, that's great. Let's laugh some more.
It's time once again for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy like it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
Bacon, the most beautiful thing on earth. Bacon's the best. Even the frying of bacon sounds like applause. It's like, ah! Yay, bacon! You want to know how good bacon is? To improve other food, they wrap it in bacon. If it weren't for bacon, we wouldn't even know what a water chestnut is.
Thank you, bacon. Sincerely, Water Chestnut III.
And those bits of bacon are like the fairy dust of the food community.
You don't want this baked potato?
Bring! Now it's your favorite part of the meal. Not interested in a salad? Bibbidi-bobbidi bacon! I'll just turn it into an entree. But once you put bacon in a salad, it's no longer a salad. It just becomes a game of find the bacon and the lettuce. It's like you're panning for gold. Eureka! Bacon!
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we'll be back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Roger Marley up next. Safe word at 6 o'clock. Could get you a thou. We leave you this afternoon with this. 4 o'clock fluffer time. Mark.
Stan.
Everyone.
D-Train.
Haney.
Honey, I'm home.
Woo!
It's National Hospital Week.
Oh, woo! I didn't know that. You know what? You never know when you might have to go to a hospital, and then that becomes your hospital week. You don't have to have a special day for it. I can have a slip and fall on the way home today, and I'm in the hospital. That's my week. They got walk-in clinic week, too?
I don't know. There's a week or a day for everything.
Yeah, of course there is.
And it's really just an excuse for some bad jokes.
Yep.
With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
signs you're in a bad hospital.
Top signs you're in a bad hospital. We've seen them.
The only experience the nurses have is playing nurses in vivid video pornography.
Love it.
It's what they call a teaching hospital, so medical students can see what not to do.
Right.
I know nothing. Nothing.
The doctor just told you cancer is a choice.
Oh, my God.
The guy being repeatedly paged the most on the speaker system is the coroner.
Hey, are you listening to me? Hey, me!
The nurse inadvertently hooked your IV up to a full colostomy bag.
Oh.
Hey, could happen to anybody.
Sure. Pardon.
As you're ushered into the colonoscopy room, you can't help but notice it has a garden hose. Their ambulance is an old PT Cruiser with a case of Band-Aids in the back.
There he is.
I am Captain Chaos.
The nurses run an after-hours amputee fight club. Right as the anesthesia kicks in, one nurse pulls down your pants as another grabs a Polaroid land camera.
I don't know, I'm too drunk.
Obviously, you can't afford a private room, but they stuck you with a roommate who brought his emotional support rooster. And finally, the very top sign, you're in a bad hospital.
Yes.
All the doctors are American.
I'm having chest pain.
Elvis has left the building.
That's the fourth. What about
that? Baby.
That little Iranian doctor you like.
Yeah,
this,
doctor. What's his name?
Yeah.
Nozardan.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day's a gift.